It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money!
Special double secret assignment.
Special assignment?
Yes, again. Rumor has it he's wandering barefoot in a park somewhere. But I am Christopher Lloyd with the Film Yap. Here's filling in once again for Matthew on Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point. Once again, I do have some assistance this week. Our old friend Mark Dubeck is here.
Hello. What's going on, guys? How are you? Thanks for having me here. Very exciting.
Thanks for joining us. We're excited, and of course, it's we've also got a special treat. Matthew is not here in person, but he is here in spirit and also in audio. We'll have an interview with Matt and Chef Ingrid Hoffman that we'll have up in the after the half, kind of the latter third of the show. So stay tuned to that. You will get your Matthew Sozi fix, but in the meantime, it's just us, and of course, joined as always. By Kobe's leg.
Yep. Hello. Hi, Kobe. Good afternoon.
Hello.
So what's going on? Anything interesting going on in Kobe world?
Well, at WFYI here, if you have been tuning in all week, you know it is Silent Web Week, and that means it is the week before the pledge drive kicks off. So we will be kicking off Monday morning, 6:51 a.m. sharp during Morning Edition. We have a goal of $275,000, which we will raise and exceed by the time our drive concludes on Friday, the 26th. And you can pledge your support 1-800-233-0020. Give online at WFYI.org.
Starting early. And I can tell you that a guy frisked me on the way in, took all my spare change. And I was like, no, I'm actually working here, kind of. But nope, it didn't get me past him. But yeah.
Speaking on about the way in, you know, I had to drag my winter coat back out again. What's going on with this... You know what I mean? It's like the tease of spring, and I put my coat away, and then as I step outside, I'm back on.
When did you decide? At what point did you decide I'm not doing this anymore? I'm not bringing this coat out.
I went to spring break. I was in Florida, and I came back, and the weather here was just phenomenal. And then you know we put away the sweaters, the coats, and unfortunately I came back out today. So, you know, hopefully it'll just be for a little while. But it's you know spring is here, right? I mean that's it's supposed to be.
But yeah, not only is spring here, but according to Chris Lloyd, the summer movie season is here.
Is it really?
I've been telling everybody for all intents and purposes, March is the summer start of the summer movie season now, but.
Doesn't feel like it. Just like this doesn't feel like spring, but
yeah, this is a little bit of a slower week, 42. But we got the Tom Cruise movie next week, so
you're calling 42 a slow week?
It's a pretty high profile movie, but compared to some of the other ones that have been coming out or that will come out over the next couple of weeks,
yeah.
There's some bigger small films out right now. You know, like with Trance, and then the Ryan Gosling one that no one knows where to see it, but those are like a couple big films that are getting a lot of buzz though that are out, but it's just kind of under the radar of mainstream, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, I was saying we had a lot of we had several big budget films, The Great and Powerful Oz,
yeah.
Jack the Giant Slayer, which is a much better movie than Oz, but for some reason people didn't go see it. So it started with The Hunger Games, and it's just they're pushing it earlier and earlier, and things will really kick off, I guess, with what we think with Iron Man, the first Friday in May.
Yeah.
Is that the big one?
Yeah. I was looking earlier. I thought Anchorman 2 was coming out, was slated for this summer, but it's December 20th.
They pushed it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So World, that was kind of disappointing.
World War Z, that has been delayed several times.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I felt like I've already watched it. It's like been coming out for so long. I've had the trailer on my website for like a year.
If you've seen the trailer for World War Z, it's another one of these zombie apocalypse movies, but based on on the book from a few years ago. If you watch the trailer, I quipped on Facebook. I said, if you watch the trailer of the movie, it looks entirely like it consists of zombies tripping over each other, swarms of zombies tripping over each other, helicopters flying over those zombies, and then people flying on airplanes to get to the different spots where zombies are tripping over each other.
Yeah. And we got actually, I've not seen that trailer. I've only seen the one with Brad Pitt, and you have no idea what's going on. And then World War Z.
Yeah.
And then we also have Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
The new Tom Cruise, Oblivion.
Oblivion, yeah.
And then
you
Will
know.
Smith and his son coming out in the same movie.
Yeah. Looking good. Yeah. Oh, wait. Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt both turning 50.
Are you serious?
If you can believe it, yeah.
They don't seem to really, well, I guess Brad Pitt ages a little because he smokes, though, I think. But Tom Cruise, I just watched Vanilla Sky. I was just kind of revisiting some Cameron Crowe films recently. He looks exactly the same. I don't know what the guy does. In the beginning of Vanilla Sky, not when he's, obviously, his face gets messed up.
But. He's aging according to the Cary Grant model. Cary Grant, when he was probably like 24, looked about 38. And then when he was 38, he looked 38. And when he was 60, he still looked 38. So I think that's what's going to end up happening with Tom Cruise.
Mm. Well, Brad does the whole the Johnny Depp thing, though. They very attractive guys that do everything possible to make themselves not attractive, and somehow that makes them even more attractive to women.
Yeah.
So I try that, but it doesn't work because you have to start with the base of being incredibly attractive to do that. So it doesn't work for me. Speaking of Oblivion, later on, whenever Chris cues me, we are going to give away a couple VIP experiences to the advanced screening. It's a Southside showing, so if you want to see the Tom Cruise movie, we'll let you know how you can do that.
So don't forget the cue, Chris.
Yeah, that's the AMC 17 IMAX theater on
right.
The Southside Town. Nice theater.
It's just
a bit of a far drive for those of us who are.
No, I'm a North Sider, and it doesn't really. I'm not gonna, but I prefer the IMAX. Downtown and the one up north, actually.
I admit, I'm spoiled when they screen at the Keystone Landmark. That's a 7-minute drive for me. I'm really spoiled. And then they say, let's go down south. Or
what's your? Are you okay to say what's your favorite theater to screen a film in, Tom?
Probably Castleton. Where they do the majority of them there.
Yeah.
The Regal Galaxy is also good. It's an older theater. Obviously, you don't have as nice of the sound and picture and all that. But the staff there has done so many of those; they really know how to handle the situation with those screenings. And as you and I were just discussing off air, sometimes those can be a little crazy. So it's nice when you have folks who know what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
How about you?
My favorite theater is the Goodrich IMAX theater. It's the new one. It's probably because it's so new, and the IMAX theater's nice. So it is right by my house.
The Hamilton one?
Yeah, I mean it is right by my house. But truly, it's because it's new. And I like AMC Castle would be probably my second choice. I'm glad that a lot of the screens aren't at the Circle Center theater anymore. That tended to be. A little crazy. I love all movie theaters, so no disrespect to anybody, but that's my favorite. So.
I don't know. When I first moved to Indianapolis, I had several times where we went to a press screening at the downtown theater, and just nobody, no manager or anybody from the theater showed up.
I can remember us just waiting outside the gate or whatever, like wondering, is anybody coming? Is anybody going to show this thing?
Yeah. I'm not saying that, we actually directly asked the studios not to screen there, but I directly asked the studios not to screen there.
So, the Oblivion, we'll give those away. But I have a little bit of a buzz here. Some people saying this is the first Cruise movie in a while that I've been really excited to look at. And I'd have to agree just from seeing the trailer. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. Although, I don't know if I'm going to make the trip down south, though.
All right. Well, go ahead. I'll give you your cue. I don't know how that
works.
Oh,
that's it? Oh, geez. All right. Well, listen.
Here's something they do not regularly do on the Matt Soucy show is give away stuff. So,
Well,
the Matt Soucy show.
I'm just trying to
we
bring
try
a little.
We try to give stuff away, but It doesn't.
All right. How can one get tickets to see the Oblivion screening?
The way this is going to work is normally these codes are given out, and you download your tickets, and then you have to show up and wait in line. Well, this is a VIP experience. It's not really that VIP, other than the fact that, guess what? For you and a guest, you will have two seats saved for you.
Wow.
Although I will say they are saved until the start time of the movie. If you're not there before the movie is about to begin, they will give away your seats. So don't stroll in 15 minutes late and expect them to be there. All right, there we go. So all you got to do, my name is Mark Dubec, M-A-R-K-D-U-B-E-C. So if you're on Twitter, that's the easiest way to do it, at Mark Dubec, at M-A-R-K-D-U-B-E-C. First three people that hit me up, you can send me an in message. Just give me your email address, and you win. So the first three people, that's it. You get a pair of tickets to see Oblivion Tuesday. It's
this Tuesday.
This Tuesday.
16th.
It comes out next Friday. Yeah. It's at the AMC Showplace 17 down south. I think it's at 7 or 7:30. I'll give you the details if
right,
you win.
You
so there you go.
First three people.
Congratulations.
Right now, if you're driving, pull
good
over.
Yeah. tweet. If you're on, you got to be on Twitter too. So there's a lot of things got to have to happen here. You got to be on Twitter. You got to remember how to spell my name. And you have to send me a message. just send a message. I want Tom Cruise, and the first few people will win. So
awesome.
Okay, because you won't remember Oblivion. I know you won't remember that name of the movie.
All right. Well, let's talk about movies this week. We do have a couple of pretty high profile movies, and we did talk about the movie 42.
Yes.
The new Jackie Robinson biopic. Of course, for those who remember, there was a very old Jackie Robinson biopic called The Jackie Robinson Story, starring Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And I think it came out only after you've been in the league for 3 years or so. So that's always the most accurate biopic, is when it stars the actual guy playing himself. So we've got a clip here of 42.
Yep.
Let's take a listen.
I don't know who he is or where he is, but he's coming.
It's not so simple anymore. I guess it never was. We ignored it. Now we can't.
Brooklyn, 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 we go hard.
You Jackie Robinson?
We go hard.
I father, I Brooklyn dodge of them. I jack, I rob, I sin. Man, I'm Jackie Robinson, except when I run base, I dodge the pen.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
You give me a uniform. You give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
All right, that is 42, the new Jackie Robinson biopic story, starring Harrison Ford there as Branch Rickey, and I believe, is it Chad Boseman? Is that the name of the actor playing?
That's correct.
So, well, Mark, I'll just throw it over to you. What did you think of 42?
You know, I actually brought my son, who's 11, and, you know, I think it was a really good film to see for reasons of, you know, where our history is as a country as far as racism and what he had to go through and why he was a hero. And so from that perspective, it's a great film. I think it shows that good. I guess, like I kind of said in my review, I kind of base all sports theme movies, which even though this is about his first year, you know, being in Major League Baseball, it is a sports theme still. So I kind of would have liked a little more about his personal life, a little more about his career. It was just solely focused on the racial aspect, and that's great because it gets across that point, and I think it's a worthwhile film. I said do it, which is 3 out of 4 money symbols on my my website, but. You know, I just, you know, I, the main thing was I think the kid did a really good job of portraying Jackie Robinson, and there's a couple really great scenes, which I'm sure, you know, the one where he sort of goes out of the dugout. They kind of made the movie work for me.
Yeah. So what about you? And don't forget, remind people where they can read your reviews.
Oh, just markdubeck.com or WTHR.com on the entertainment section. So either one of those locations. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I liked 42 quite a bit. I thought it could have been better. It was a little corny, little sappy, a little syrupy at times. Some of the dialogue's kind of clunky. You know, I think there's a line where, you know, like he says, you know, God made me to last. And then later the Branch Rickey character echoes it and God made him to last. So there were times where I was just like, boy, you really could have just sort of dialed that back. I believe it was Brian Hegeland wrote and directed the film. And he's done a lot of really good things, you know, wrote the screenplay for L.A. Confidential. So, you know, a lot of great things he's done. But his directing career is a little more uneven. A Knight's Tale was one of his first big ones. But it's a very interesting film, as you say. You know, it's sort of everyone knows the iconic story of Jackie Robinson, who, and now people know that, you know, he had all sorts of horrible stuff said to him. I mean, not just off the field, but right on the field. Fans saying stuff at him, opposing players, just total hateful racial epithets being thrown at him. And he had to just sit there and take it. And that was an interesting part of the story to me, was the relationship of him between him and the Branch Rickey character, where Branch Rickey, you know, he was the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He wasn't just looking for any player to recruit to break the color barrier. It had to be the right guy, a guy who was not only a great player, but also could take the abuse and not fight back.
And one thing, if you've ever played sports, or you can even watch it in today's headlines, when you have, you know, these kind of media pressures or things, obviously this is much worse than that. You have everybody against you. To be able to perform in that environment speaks to his character as well. And I think that that's kind of what the movie wanted to show, is, you know, this guy went through all this and still became, you know, the rookie of the year and still went on to have this great career and then changed sports, you know, at least, Major League Baseball forever. So, you know, from that perspective, I think that it did its job. It just, like you said, it felt the scenes, I knew what was coming, like, you know, 5 minutes before it happened, because it was set up and you knew, okay, now cue, this guy's going to come in and say this, and then there's going to be this, you know, animosity. And so I would have liked to have seen a little more substance and a little more about the guy himself and what he went through. But then again, you know, that's the movie that I would have liked. I mean, as far as what it is, it accomplishes its task. But I definitely feel, you know, it was a little bit, like you said, sappy at times. So,
What do you think of Harrison Ford? I thought he was really good in this. You know, he's doing a character so that there's quite a bit of behavior. You know, he's slouching over and he's playing an old man, which is something we've not seen Harrison Ford do before, and speaking in a very thick accent. But I think there's some deeper layers that he managed to put into that performance, where we see it's not just this guy. He tells everyone it's about the money. That's why I'm doing about this. You know, money isn't black and white. Dollars are all green, he says. But he got to show some really nice stuff later in the movie. And I was sort of thinking, walking out, I was like, do you think Harrison Ford could get a supporting actor Oscar nomination out of this?
I think it's possible. Yeah, I mean, I was definitely impressed. In fact, it's funny you mentioned about him playing an old guy, because that was one of the, in the beginning of the movie, it starts with a really tight shot on his face and his ear, actually, which I think he even had ear hair, my gosh. I mean, but just the whole thing, I thought, gosh, that's Harrison Ford. I mean, and it struck me as, you know, he's really, I thought he did the role really well, and I do think he could. I also think the young guy that played Jackie Robinson has depending on what else happens, you know. I thought he was, as far as a breakout role, I thought he did a nice job, you know.
All right, well, we definitely liked 42, and here's what we thought of it.
Now that was a good movie!
All right, moving on. our other big release of the week is Trance, which has kind of been a limited release and now going out wider. And this is director Danny Boyle's newest film. Of course, most people know him as the director of Slumdog Millionaire, won a raft of Oscars a few years ago.
Or Trainspotting, if you want to go in the other direction.
Trainspotting. Unfortunately, not too many people went to see his last movie, 127 Hours, which I thought was terrific.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hard to watch, but a terrific, terrific movie. So here's out with this new one. It's sort of a psychological thriller, I guess you'd say.
It's close.
About an art dealer who gets wrapped up in all these criminals, and we've got an audio clip, so let's take a listen to Trance.
1% of the population can be described as extremely suggestible.
What can you make them do?
Anything. Simon, close your eyes. I want you to follow my voice.
I like your voice.
And imagine you're in a place where you feel secure, in control, and you feel so comfortable, so relaxed. All your problems.
Where is the painting?
I don't remember.
Seems so far away and so long ago.
I remember that day.
What we are is the sum of everything we've ever done, which is constantly being revised and remembered.
I know what you were going to do to me.
She put that memory there. It's not real.
The plan was simple. Hypnotize the guy. You bring me back the painting.
Was I hypnotized?
He's afraid that once he's remembered, you'll kill him.
All right, and that's Trance starring James McAvoy and Rosario Dawson is also in that. And Vincent Cassel is, I believe, a French actor who's in it. It's kind of mainly about those three characters, I guess you would say. And it's one of these very twisty, turny kind of movies where it's constantly trying to throw you off.
Sure.
And so the basic idea there is that, you know, there's this big theft of an incredibly valuable painting. And I'm not giving anything away because this is revealed within the first few minutes that the art auctioneer played by James McAvoy was actually in on the crime with a bunch of very nasty guys, but he got whacked in the head during the caper and literally can't remember where he stashed the painting. So they get in this therapist hypnotist played by Rosario Dawson, and things go on from there. And, you know, it's one of these movies where towards the middle end, you start to doubt the veracity of what you saw earlier. Like, Right. Okay, what we thought actually happened before, did that actually happen? It's a very technically proficient movie. Great to look at. Gorgeous actors. I didn't quite ever really get emotionally invested in the characters. You know, I felt like they ended up being more like chess pieces. You know, they just existed in service to the plot rather than really feeling like full-fledged individuals. So I respected the movie, but I can't say as I really enjoyed it. It felt like it was trying too hard to fool me rather than really show me something.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. I kind of think of it as a little bit of like Inception on some level for me. It just gets so complicated at some point. I'm thinking, where are we? What am I watching at this point towards the middle? However, I have to say, I really wanted to see the film. I love Danny Boyle, love these actors, and just the whole look and vibe of the film, even in the trailer, it looks amazing. So for me, it would have been something I would go see regardless, of a review or anything, because it's my kind of movie. It's a heist movie.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. However, you know, for that all to work, to have it look cool and be amazing and have these cool actors and a great director, you know, there has to be a nice payoff to all this confusion. You know, you have to sort of, it has to be wrapped up nicely where you're like, oh, okay, even though for a half hour I wasn't sure what was going on, I get it now. And, you know, wow, what a cool movie, because I want to watch it again and maybe see things I didn't. Unfortunately, the ending didn't do that for me. I kind of still was left scratching my head. And even if I think I know what it was, I don't know that was good enough to make me tell someone that they should go see it. So
yeah, I agree.
Definitely a good rental, I think it would be.
Okay, so here's what we thought of Trance.
How neat is that? That's pretty neat.
All right.
Quick note, though, Rosario Dawson, I think that's her best film to date. And
she was very good in it, and she had the toughest role.
And yeah, and she also, they show a lot of her in the film, just as a side note, if you're into her.
As I mentioned in my review, first movie I've ever seen where, how shall I say this, intimate grooming habits become a key plot point.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I would say that was a good point.
Never seen
that
before.
No, but
all right, well, we've got three other new releases hitting theaters here in the Indianapolis market. And we'll just mention them briefly because, unfortunately, they did not screen them for us and we didn't see them. We've got The Sapphires, which is an interesting movie. People have compared it to Dreamgirls, and it's set in the 60s. It's about a group of girl singers. In this case, it's interesting is that they're Australian Aborigines, and they're brought together by this sort of shystery kind of character. So it's one of these sort of, you know, little bit funny, a little bit sad, a little bit dramatic type of movie. So you got the backdrop of the Vietnam War here. If you go over to thefilmyap.com, we've do got a review up from our Chicago correspondent, Lauren Whalen. Definitely, I think, kind of a chick movie, but she really goes for it. I'll just read you here a couple lines from her review. Based on the stage play written by a real-life Sapphire Sun, The Sapphires could have been a frothy feel-good movie, a scrappy underdog story, or a serious look at horrifying racial issues that in some ways parallel the unrest in the United States. Instead, it's a nice combination of all three with a fun soundtrack that doesn't descend into pirate radio territory and overwhelm the plot. Hmm. So she gives it 4.5 out of 5 over on the Film Yep for The Sapphires. So obviously a pretty big endorsement there. And then we've got The Place Beyond the Pines, which is a new drama starring Ryan Gosling. And I believe he's repairing with the same director from Blue Valentine.
Yeah, that's correct.
2 or 3 years ago. And I believe
Bradley Cooper's in there as well. He plays a cop there. Yeah, this is something that it's getting a really good buzz. And I actually want to see it. It's only showing, I believe, at the Keystone Arts Cinema. Is that correct to your knowledge? So, which is fun. You can have some drinks and watch it.
I think
it might be
one or two others as well. Check your listings.
I didn't see it, but maybe it's opening next week. I don't know, but it's definitely there tonight. You could go tonight to see it. But yeah, check your listings. You know, again, they didn't screen it for us, but it's one of those ones I really wanted to. In fact, I was going to try to make time to see it today, but I did not get to. But a friend of mine here, this is not even an actual film reviewer. She sent me this text, and this made me really want to see the movie. So I will share it with you. Totally not what I expected. Gosling does a late 80s, 90s tough rebel very good. It totally takes you to an emotional place. What would you do and who is the bad guy here? Who is the bad guy there? Left me in a weird mood, but highly recommend it. So a weird mood. I mean, first of all, I always like to be in a weird mood. So, you know, for me, I told her, I said, you know what? I'm in. I'm going as soon as I can to go see that. So, you know, apparently it creates an odd vibe and you're not sure how to feel about the character. So
yeah it's my understanding is it's sort of set in with it's got a couple of time jumps. So we start out with a certain set of characters, then things happen, we move on to another, you know, time span with people related to those characters. So I'm definitely interested to see it.
And, you know, you have to note this. It must be so odd and not mainstream that with Ryan Gosling, who every woman in the world is in love with, to not be in every movie theater means that they couldn't market it and they knew that it would bomb. So,
yeah.
And not to mention, I heard he's retiring after that. Did you guys hear that?
What?
He's not going to act for a while. He's taking some time off.
This sounds like a Joaquin Phoenix, you know, spoof kind of thing to me.
Yeah, that's the rumors that, you know, maybe he wants to direct or something. You know, don't we all? You know, that's like. Like, you know, but maybe, Ben Affleck's done a nice job of that. So.
Well, maybe it'll be like Joaquin Phoenix, who went away for a couple of years and came back with that great performance in The Master, or even Will Smith, we were mentioning earlier. He's kind of stepped away from acting to be more in the producer role lately. So
he was in Men in Black 3 last year.
Yeah,
but that was just not really a movie, is it? It's sort of a walkthrough.
No,
but I feel, well, you know, and I actually. Like I said, I think that, you know, Ryan, I think he is, you know, I think he is an artist. He started out as a mouseketeer and all that business, but he's more than solidified himself a top tier actor. So for whatever his reasons are, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's been getting too many romantic comedy scripts and just wants to step away. I don't know.
All right. So go check out The Place Beyond the Pines. Yeah. Also, we've got, if you can believe it, Scary Movie 5.
Is this still being made by
the Wayans brothers, or is it somebody else now?
I just know that Charlie Sheen is in it. That's the big thing that everybody's promoting.
That's the joke, and then...
Yeah, that's it. That's
I've got some... I got
Snoop Dogg, or is it Snoop Lion?
Oh, yes. He's Snoop Lion now.
Snoop Lion, yeah.
But we have this from Gina, which I've not seen the Scary Movies, but, you know.
No, you just go see that in the theater, you laugh about it, and you go home.
All right. Here's do have a couple lines from Enterprise. I don't think this was screened for anybody anywhere, but my friend Roger Moore, a film critic down in Orlando, Enterprising, went to an early screening today and already has a review up. Read you a couple lines. It says, broad swipes from the sketch comedy takes aim at horror films such as Mama, Paranormal Activity, and Evil Dead. And starring, obviously, we mentioned Lindsay Lohan, Charlie Sheen, Snoop Dogg, Ashley Tisdale, Jerry O'Connell, Molly Shannon, Daryl Hammond. He says it's just a series of short sketches that don't end with a payoff, performed by actors who just needed a paycheck.
Ooh. I could have written that and I didn't even see it. So.
But those scary movies rack up the dough, so that's why we're up to number five.
And also, this weekend, if you don't want to go see 42 or Trance or Scary Movie or The Sapphires or The Place Beyond the Pines, we have other things going on this weekend at IU Cinema. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, The Daughter of Dawn from 1920, and 7 o'clock tomorrow night, because Little Five is approaching, Breaking Away, 7 o'clock.
Ooh.
Sunday, 50 Years of Brazilian Cinema series at IU Cinema. We have Rio, 100 Degrees Fahrenheit from 1956, and Tent of Miracles at 6:30.
And we should also mention, just a few days ago, the IMA released their lineup for this year's Summer Nights film schedule. Always exciting. So go check that out. A lot of cool and interesting stuff in there. They had quite a number of classics that we haven't seen before, like Pillow Talk and old Hitchcock movie, of which, of course, now I'm not remembering the name of it. But go to the IMA website or go to thefilmyapp.com. We've got an article up with the rundown for IMA Summer Movie Nights.
And tonight at IUPUI, 7 o'clock, the Shining Light Film Festival, brand new film festival here in town, will be featuring a free screening of War Torn 1861 to 2010.
Okay, outstanding. All right, well, that's it for new movies. Why don't we head on over to the video store?
Oh, dang it.
Why don't we first kill some time before we head on over to the video store?
Either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
All right, kind of a slow week at the video store, so we'll knock this out real quick. We've got Naked Lunch coming out on the Criterion Collection, a very creepy, scary, weird, baffling David Cronenberg film, of course, based on the classic novel. Jet Li in his latest martial arts film, The Sorcerer and the White Snake, probably the highest profile.
Not the band.
Huh?
you had me at White Snake. I was gonna watch it. No.
The Sorcerer and the White Snake on Fire. No, that bad humor. And of course, we've got the highest profile release of the week was Hyde Park on Hudson, a fictionalized drama about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his sort of romantic relationship with his distant cousin back in the 1930s during a visit from the King and Queen of England. Didn't quite, was expected to kind of compete for Oscars last year and didn't really do much of anything.
You know, any movie with Bill Murray, generally I'm in. I was out for that one. It just didn't interest me. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much why it didn't take off. And then, you know, obviously, I mean, it must not have had the caliber of acting performances to get it a nod, so.
All right. Well, that's it for the video store. Like I said, it was a pretty light week. But we do have some notable celebrity deaths, some film-related folks, or as we call it around here, dead people we like. Why don't we start with Annette Funicello? That was the one that kind of got a lot of people's attention. Of course, you know, she was known for the Mickey Mouse Club. And, you know, her film career pretty much ended by about 1970 or so. But, you know, those beach party movies from the 60s were very popular. Do you remember, I only saw, obviously, you know, came along much later to see them, but, you know, they're sort of fun, you know, teenage movies.
For whatever reason, I remember seeing them in drive-in theaters as like the second movie or something, I don't know, for whatever reason. So, yeah, I suppose, I mean, you know, I remember my mom liked her quite a bit, you know, so in those films. Was it Frankie Avalon in that movie?
Frankie Avalon, and so the Beach Party, Muscle Beach Party, Bikini Beach, and boy, they just cranked them out, I think about one or two a year.
She had to have done something since then. But
They did a reunion movie in 1987, Back to the Beach.
I remember that. There we go. That was it.
All righty. And the other big celebrity passing, of course, is Jonathan Winters. More of a stand-up comedian and TV guy, but still did quite a number of movies. You know, television was known for Mork and Mindy, but did quite a lot of movies. The Russians Are Coming. It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. The Flintstones was in Twilight movie. Remember that? Had a small role in that. Probably most notable thing he did was he was the voice of Papa Smurf in the new Smurf movies, the one that just came out and the one that's coming out.
I did not know that. There's, well, Jonathan
Smurf's 3D.
Well, Smurfs 2 is coming out this year, so he did the voice of that, and oh, presumably will not be doing the voice of Papa Smurf, Smurf in Smurfs 3.
Well, he had a full life. You know, he what a career, you know, go out doing Smurfs. But
often referred to as the funniest man alive, can't hold that title anymore.
No.
Just to mention a few others, Richard Brooker, well-known actor and stuntman, played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th 3.
Mm. He'll be missed.
Sarah Montiel, a Spanish actress who was hugely popular in her home country in the 1950s and 60s. Les Blank, a documentarian, made lots of films about other artists, especially musicians, made two documentaries about Werner Herzog, including Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe. And Mickey Rose, screenwriter, early Woody Allen partner with Bananas, Take the Money and Run, and What's Up, Tiger Lily. All right, well, Mark, thanks for having coming on the show where,
no problem.
Where I'm guesting, and you're the guest of the guest.
I'm the guest of the guest, and it's been wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Where can people find you?
Just markdubeck.com or at markdubeck on Twitter would be fine, and you can check out my reviews, give away free tickets, all kind of stuff. And, you know, hey, thanks. It was great being here.
And you can check us out on thefilmyap.com, and we're going to throw it over the last part of the show to Matthew Sosie's interview with Chef Ingrid Hoffman. Enjoy.
Joining me on Film Sociology is a chef, a TV personality, and her latest cookbook could also be her autobiography title, Latin Delight. Chef Ingrid Hoffman, how are you, m'lady?
I am doing great, and thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Now, the new cookbook, I got to skim through it a little bit, and it's Latin Delight, Delicious Latin Recipes with a Healthy Twist. What caused you to make this cookbook at this time?
It's kind of my food philosophy. It's what I eat at home, what I make for myself. It's about, you know, I don't believe in diets. I believe in eating real food, food that comes from the ground or had a mother. And that kind of sort of eliminates most processed foods and takes us back a little bit to how we should always be eating. And making it really easy so that people can actually cook it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other. You know, you can tell people a lot of stories, but if you don't make it easy for them, then it's not really doable.
But going through it, and yeah, it was seeing an interesting twist on everything from turkey nachos to, I have to mention, Delia's pulled chicken. I gotta try that sometime. So I would say, how long have you been collecting these recipes?
You know, I think that whenever I think of food to do for shows and for all of the, you know, different things that I work on, it's always a combination with, I can't put everybody on a totally clean diet. Like, I like to eat at home, but I also like to splurge. So it is a combination of things. This book took 3.5 years in the making. My previous book was 4 years. So it's this. I say this is my second born.
Well, I would say, and were these recipes accumulated in that time span, or that they've always been in your kitchen?
I think that some of them have always been. You know, like, for instance, to give you an example of my go-to breakfast made in 3 minutes, totally healthy, which is my egg white and veggie mug that I zap for 3 minutes in the microwave, but everything in it is super healthy and delicious. You know, that's something that I've been doing for many, many years. I had never thought of really, you know, this is something that I'm going to put in a cookbook. But when I decided that this is a cookbook about actually telling people, showing people, the excuse that, oh, you don't have time to have a healthy breakfast before you don't do breakfast, BS. I'm going to show you how you can do a really quick breakfast that is satisfying, that is healthy. And so that's where things like that come into play. You know, there's these awesome pancakes in there that have no flour in them. And that's something that I kind of do every time that I'm craving pancakes and I don't feel like weighing myself down with, you know, the flour and And so there's all those little cool tricks that I show you and how to do them and that are really doable. And I kind of can start little by little transforming the way you cook and eat at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe in balance. I believe in working out. I believe in splurging. I believe that here and there I allow myself a binge meal. And I think that that's very important to do so that you don't feel that you're depriving yourself. But at the same time, although this is a food, you know, a book about lighter foods, I don't believe in having grilled chicken with a piece of lettuce and a slice of tomato, because if that was where I have to eat, I would ask you, wait, where's our real lunch? Are we going to go to lunch now? So it is about food that has flavor, that has, you know, substance to it, but it's all coming from good places and that you can actually do easy. So really sticking to everything that comes from the ground, Hat Mother, you know, we do flavor with vinegars, with spices, with herbs, with citruses, with citrus zest, you know, create a lot of sauces from nuts, from seeds. So you're still getting, you know, flavor and substance. You don't feel like you're eating a, you know, a piece of grilled fish with nothing, or grilled chicken. So, but it is all ingredients that your body will recognize. And, you know, there's fun appetizers, there's fun snacks for movies. You know, to me, one of my things that I really enjoy of the outing of going to the movies is what I'm going to eat at the movies. So, you know, fun popcorn with twists we've got in the book. You know, you can make it from sweet, salty, with a little bit of chili powder and some Parmesan sprinkled. Here you can give new life to popcorn. You know, I pop my popcorn with only one tablespoon of canola oil. So it's perfectly okay to have an afternoon snack of popcorn. It doesn't need to have the, you know, gazillion ounces of butter. And you add flavor by doing it in these different ways, like I just described, a little bit of Parmesan, a little bit of chile. It could be a little bit of chopped cilantro or chopped parsley. I mean, there's so many ways that you can go on that.
Well, it's funny. In the recipes, you in your book, you mentioned you have occasionally what is called an indulgence recipe. Oh. And it is mostly about, like I said, treating yourself as opposed to turning your back on a healthier choice.
Exactly. What I call them personally, for me, binge meals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I admit that I have an obsessive relationship with food. I work with food, so it's very hard. I'm a foodaholic. And so this is a way in which I can be realistic. I don't set myself up for failure of starting a diet, which means I'm automatically going to break it. I plan my splurge and binge meals and my indulge meals. And I have them almost like every third day at lunchtime. And, you know, if what that means is that I want to have two burgers, three fries, and, you know, whatever, gazillion Coca-Cola and milkshake, then I'm going to have it. I satisfied it. I feel that I planned it, so I'm in control of it, so it doesn't have the guilt associated to it. And then next meal, I'm back on it. So I really think that it's, people drive us crazy with all the diet fads. Everyone that I know that lives on a diet is overweight. Everyone that I know that drinks diet Pepsi, diet this, is all overweight. So it really is about just changing how you eat. It's a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the book, I help you make that transition. And at some point, you start seeing, and it's almost like if you're changing the hardware, the chip in your hard drive. You know, I gave a couple of recipes to a friend who made five of them, and she said, you know, after now that I've made five recipes of the book, I kind of understand and see the changes, and it's actually pretty cool. I haven't missed anything, and, you know, there was this one that you were only using one tablespoon of oil, and I thought, my God, it's going to dry and burn the chicken. And then I saw what you did to fix it, and it's such a great idea because I'm going to use that now to how I normally cook. So it is really about small changes that add up to big differences.
Yes. And you also add a new twist on items that we've seen every day, like everything from meatloaf to fried chicken to hamburgers. So it helps break up the monotony.
You have to. You need it. You know, it's like, especially if you want to stay on a realistic plan, I think that it is important that you have a little bit of everything. But at the same time, they're very easy to do recipes. I joke that if I can make them, a 9-year-old kid can make them. And that is really one of the things that I strive for, because I understand that if not, people cannot live this, you know, do it. You need to be able to, for it to be realistic. The other thing that I really highly emphasize is about planning. And planning your meals should be something like planning, setting an appointment in the calendar, just like you do for the dentist or for your mammogram, or you have to make it a priority. There's a day in which you plan your menus. There's a day in which you buy everything. There's a day in which you cook it. The other thing is do everything double. It takes the same amount of time to go to the supermarket and buy the ingredients for the recipe for making it once as it is for making it twice. You're still going to dirty your kitchen. Might as well get a, you know, more bang for the buck and for your time. And if you do each recipe, when you're going to do it double, you then freeze in portions. And that way, you know, when you're leaving in the morning for work, you can switch from the freezer into the fridge. You come home at night, you've got cleaner food, more, you know, less expensive. You take away the stress of having to think about it. And you can involve your entire family in being a part of the making process, giving everyone little chores, teaching the kids that learning to cook since they're little is really important. And you really are what you eat. So I think that it is an entire lifestyle philosophy. And I think that when we don't want to look at these things, you will end up spending more money being stressed. And you will spend more money at the drugstore and medical bills, because if we think that we can continue eating all of these packaged foods full of bad, bad preservatives and additives and chemicals and not get sick, then I think everybody is really dreaming. And it's going to be a really bad nightmare when they wake up. So, you know, hopefully by showing them how easy these recipes are, that this book even has drinks. It's got cocktails.
Yes.
It's about living life. No one is telling you, you know, be rigid or be obsessive or be, no, it's quite the contrary. Everything in moderation. And you're able to do that when you start cutting down on bad things. Mm-hmm. And if those bad things also mean calories, then, you know, it's a win-win, because at the end of the day, then you can have those splurges here and there.
Yeah, I'm ready to make a beloved whiskey the next movie I watch at home, so I appreciate that. Now,
Rick,
are you still working on Delicioso for Univision?
Yes. We continue doing Delicioso across all of the different platforms of Univision. We have Delicioso Radio, Delicioso App, Delicioso TV, Delicioso Mobile. And we are now in the fall launching the Delicioso Houseware line nationwide. It'll start in July on the Home Shopping Network and hit retail August, September. So we're very excited, because this is going to go from prep to cook, cook to table. So by that is every important kitchen gadget that you need, every cookware that you need, and then serving the table, so from drinkware to dishes, cutlery, name it, everything. So it's a real expansion of the brand. And 3.5 years ago, I sold part of the brand to Univision. We partnered up with the Delicioso brand. So it's really obviously a dream come true, that something that you started out of the kitchen of your house 17 years ago as a dream and 7 episodes on a piece of paper today is a decisioning to become a household brand in every category, from food, table, to different types of products, is very exciting. So it's a good time, and especially now with Latin Delight, you know, I think that little by little, just sort of really seeing, you know, all of the things that I think are important to share, to help people, as well as to, you know, see the fruition of so many years of work and love and passion come together to actually be something real and tangible. So it's very exciting.
And, of course, you can check that out on Univision. You can still see episodes of Simply Delicioso on the Cooking Channel. And I have to tell you, Ingrid, I still watch those for a couple reasons. One, I do because, well, I try to snap my fingers and everybody keeps moving. So you have that. And and your show's name is one of the nicknames I give for Mrs. Sosi. So we want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I keep asking her to recreate your dance moves at the title sequence, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we got to come up with a new one now for the new shows coming up. We got to come up with something. We'll see. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to outdo myself on the next one.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, we'll look for that. I guess I also want to ask, how was the experience appearing on The Taste?
The Taste was very fun to do. You know, I think that because of there being so much in each episode, it very little makes it on the air,
mm-hmm.
which I was a little bit bummed about because I wanted to see more of everything. I wanted to see more of the contestants. I wanted to see, you know, when I was there, we filmed so much. It obviously, you have to cut it down. So it really left me wanting to have seen a lot more than what we got to see. But, you know, such is the process of television. It was a lot of fun to do. I love Anthony and Nigella and the rest of the crew, and ABC is an amazing company to work with. So it was a lot of fun. You know, in the editing, you didn't really see my entire explanation as to why I ended up picking what I liked the least, but what I thought really was suited the challenge. So that because of the editing, never came across, which actually was a shame, because then I got on all the social media, like, why you said that you didn't like it, but you picked it. And that was very interesting. And it was actually what best did justice to what the challenge was, to seduce. And if it seduced me and I didn't even like it, you know, that's sort of like, imagine.
You know, you just opened the floodgates for a lot of guys now that you've said that.
Yeah, I tend to like the bad boys.
Oh, great. Well, I would say just seeing you and Nigella on the same screen, I chased Mrs. Sosi around the house, so thank you for that.
Oh, you've made me laugh so much. Great. We can do these interviews whenever you want. I'm having a ball.
Uh-oh. Famous last words. Thank you.
I
promised the text, but no photos. That's okay. Since this is a film show, what movies have you watched recently? New, old, doesn't matter.
I just watched Anna Karenina this past weekend, and I loved it. I know it did not have great reviews, but visually it was stunning, and it was such a love story, tragic and betrayal, I thought that visually it was stunning, the photography, the costumes. I really enjoyed it. I tried watching Argo, and I fell asleep through it. I'm not sure that that was a good thing.
Ben Affleck. Well, were you at home?
Yes, and I was very tired and not feeling well. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, better to fall asleep in the living room than actually in the theater. So give it another shot. It's okay.
I definitely will. But I thought that the Anna Karenina was a very sexy, hot movie and very passionate as well.
One of the things I was curious about is when you see people cooking in a movie, do you study it and see if they actually know what they're doing?
I guess that I do that when I'm watching cooking TV, which I really never do because it stresses me out.
Well, and it's kind of like what you do.
Yeah, it's not fun for me to come home and watch that type of thing, and I hate watching myself. So I think that when you can see a scene in which food is part of the passion of whether it is important to the scene, I don't care that it, you know, it's like if a friend tries to cook for me and they don't really know how to cook, but they're doing something that they like doing, then I'm the happiest. So I never watch it with those critical eyes.
I was curious because a couple of titles I was scanning through before talking to you, I thought of Tortilla Soup and Like Water for Chocolate. And I was wondering if you had seen those.
Yes, I've seen Like Water for Chocolate. And, you know, I'll tell you, there's something not too crazy about the idea of energy into food. I'm not sure if you're aware with the yogi philosophy that, like, real hardcore yogis will never eat food that has been prepared by someone else unless it is a yogi like them.
Mm-hmm.
And food is prepared in meditation because they say that food is live energy. It is true. I mean, if you think about it, the person that's preparing your food, who's touching it, who's putting all their energy into it, then you ingest it. And so they better be in a good mood, is all I have to say. But, yeah, that's a brilliant movie. That's a very beautiful movie.
Are you going on a book tour now with this, or what's next for you?
Yes, we are starting literally, well, we're still right now doing this week radio and weeklies around the country in both languages. So the list is really, really long. And then I launch officially next week in Spanish at Univision, the morning show. And then in English, the exclusive is with the Today Show, which is where I launched my previous book as well. And I do the Today Show fairly often. They're very good to me. We've built a very nice relationship there with the NBC folks. So they've always been very welcoming and supportive of me there. So it was naturally that we launched there. Then we're heading out to L.A. and we're going to be doing the talk and doing, I believe, there's Dr. Oz. And there's so much on the list. But, yes, I'm definitely doing the rounds. I'm going to be in various cities. You know, it's an exciting time. Book is the type of thing you do for love. I don't do my books for money. It's nice if they turn profitable or at least break even, but it's something that you, first of all, it's so much. It's the hardest thing I do. I can produce television with my eyes closed, but do a book takes. If you do your own books, it is a hell of a lot of work and very difficult, which is why this one took 3.5 years to do. And to those people that put out a book a year, I have no idea who's doing their cookbooks for them, but I can assure you it's not them. That story does not fly with me.
Do you know what you're going to prepare for the Today Show?
I believe that that was probably picked about 3 months ago. If you ask me right now, what am I making on the Today Show? I'm trying to figure out what I'm making tomorrow on the morning show.
Yes, dear.
You know, the schedule has been so crazy that really the way I work, I cannot look at the calendar because I would get so overwhelmed that I would probably run away and never come back. So what I do is that I take it day by day. You know, at night, I'll look at my schedule of the next day. Whatever I need to study, I will study. You know, obviously, we pick. I'm involved in absolutely everything. Generally, a lot of these things, like my morning show segments at Univision, we give them this material 6 months in advance. So literally, they have of mind what I'm going to be doing almost the entire year, week by week. So in that process, I'm involved 100%. Now, tonight, once I'm done, because today I just came from a one-hour live interview as well. So I'm trying to get through the day just focused on this, what I'm doing with you. And tonight I'll look and see, okay, am I getting up at 4 in the morning or 5? And what am I doing? Crazy schedule, but it's all good.
Well, I think no matter what happens, when you go to New York, you better leave a gallon of Mexican sangria for Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Wow. Those girls like their drinks.
Yes. We all should be so lucky at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I know. I want to have that job. At least it would be okay to just sit there and be drinking.
I'll back you up. I'll keep the chair straight.
Maybe you and I should get a morning show like that. The drinking show.
Oh, those are famous last words.
Matt, if that show idea ever pans out, you got to promise that you will let me be the band leader for the show. That was Matt Soucy's chat with Chef Ingrid Hoffman. While you're online right now, check out the blog for the show at filmsociology.tumblr.com. You can check out what Matt's been watching this week, which, looking at it right now, it's a bunch of titles that I have no idea what they are. Big surprise there. Review of Lore from last week, as well as his thoughts on the late Roger Ebert.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz.
has spoken.
For Matthew Sosi, I am Kobe Slagle. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Matt will be back next week, and we will be back in full effect. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We gone. Good night, Fort Myers.